Today is Friday, the 3rd of April, and this is Kathy with the Pike County Journal Republican for this week, which was published on the 1st of April. Starting with the front page, County Board to Revisit EMA Budget by Steve Hoffman. The Pike County Board was scheduled to consider amendments to its 2021 budget in regards to the Emergency Management Agency on Wednesday morning, April 1st. Pike County State's Attorney Dana Rhodes had filed a complaint against the board in an effort to give the EMA department additional resources during the coronavirus outbreak. Rhodes had indicated in a court hearing last week that the complaint could be dropped if the board agreed to additional funds for the EMA operational budget and if a so-called gag order was lifted on EMA Director Mike Holmes. The budget amendment was the only action item on the 9 a.m. agenda Wednesday. Look for updates on www.journalrepublican.com. If I have time, I will go look those up for you. This headline, Case Against County Board Goes to Court, by Steve Hoffman. A complaint aimed at getting more resources for the Pike County Emergency Management Agency has been continued until April 21st, as the courts seek representation for the defendant, in this case, the Pike County Board. Pike County State's Attorney Dana Rhodes took the action of filing against the county board 2 weeks ago, saying that the EMA needs to be able to speak to the media and public and also have the authority to purchase emergency supplies during the current COVID-19 pandemic. All we are asking on behalf of the people is that the EMA director be allowed to communicate with the media and other appropriate forums to get information to the public, said Rhodes, at a hearing in the Pike County Courthouse in Monticello. We're also asking, with respect to his part-time operational budget, that he be given a mechanism so he can buy emergency supplies that may be needed during the course of this emergency. In a complaint filed March 19th, Rhodes said EMA Director Mike Holmes had been given a gag order by County Board Chair Ray Spencer and was told any purchases must fit within his budget approved in December. Basically, we're asking for emergency relief, Rhodes said. Since Rhodes' office usually represents the county board, 6th Judicial Court Chief Judge Carl Koritz said at the hearing in Monticello Tuesday that an attorney needs to be found for the county board before the complaint can be heard. But after exhausting more typical possibilities such as using the state's attorney, appellate prosecutor, or Illinois Attorney General's office, Koritz felt hiring a private firm would be the most expedient possibility. He said an appellate prosecutor is already a part of the state's attorney system and that the Attorney General's office is already involved in a separate case involving Spencer. Precluding both of those is as feasible methods. Another option would be to find another state's attorney's office to represent the county board, but Koritz quickly dismissed that option during a 20-minute hearing held in the relatively empty Pike County Courthouse. I can't imagine a state's attorney in this circuit would want to take up this case, given the political reality here in Pike County, is that Mrs. Rhodes is likely to become the sitting judge here come December. Rhodes is currently the only candidate on the November ballot for the judgeship. Two others have announced they will run as independents. Given that Mrs. Rhodes has said time is of the essence, and given that the county board is without resources, and given the fact that I don't believe any attempt to find a state's attorney nearby that would be willing to act as a special state's attorney would be fruitful, I am inclined to hire a private law firm now rather than go down the road 3 weeks and we find there isn't anybody, said Koritz. The judge then appointed the Decatur firm of Featherstone, Galburn, Stocks, Flynn, and Eck to represent the county board. The Decatur law firm is being given until April 15th to respond to the request. Rhodes then has 5 days to file any responses before the April 21st hearing is conducted. Courts also ruled the request needs to have a name attached to it, either Dana Rhodes as Pike County State's Attorney or by listing Holmes by name, and said an amended complaint would need to be filed to reflect that change. The original document filed on March 19th listed the people of Pike County, Illinois as the plaintiffs. Rhodes said she had no issue with being named as the complainant. Courts also encouraged the two parties to settle the case before the next court date, if possible. If a resolution can't be reached short of court action, I certainly encourage the parties, just as I do at every case, to keep the lines of communication open, he said. Attorney Jim Ayers, representing Spencer, told Koritz that an email sent by Rhodes to county board members earlier in the day with communication on how to settle the dispute may have violated the Illinois Open Meetings Act when county board member Randy Schumard replied all to the email. Rhodes responded that the governor had relaxed some Open Meetings Act requirements in response to the pandemic. J.B. Pritzker's executive order does temporarily waive requirements for boards to meet in person. But Illinois Press Association legal counsel Don Craven said that the governor did not suspend notification requirements. Craven also gave his opinion last week that the public must still be allowed to take part in meetings, even if they are held electronically. 5 of the 6 Piatt County board members were present at the hearing Tuesday afternoon. The 6th, Renee Front, did not receive a summons, according to Ayers. From Kirby Medical Center, advice for the elderly during times of isolation. Americans of all ages are experiencing increased social isolation and loneliness in combating the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the National Institute on Aging, nearly 14 million older adults in the U.S. live alone and are especially vulnerable during this time. Their research has linked social isolation and loneliness to higher risks for a variety of physical and mental conditions. High blood pressure, heart disease, obesity, a weakened immune system, anxiety, depression, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's disease, and even death. Kirby Senior Life Solutions is encouraging people to engage in meaningful, productive activities to help boost mood and maintain their overall emotional health and well-being. Ryan Hastings, Program Director, said it is important to find ways to connect and engage in activities to help mitigate symptoms of anxiety and depression during this time. We put together these quick tips to share with our communities and hope they will encourage self-care and support. Quick tips for older adults experiencing social isolation. Number 1. Find or keep a sense of purpose. Take up a hobby such as growing an herb garden, crossword puzzles, knitting, or other activities. Number 2. Age-appropriate workouts can help you not only stay in shape physically, but in mental shape as well. Gentle exercises such as walking are suggested. It is always recommended to consult a healthcare professional or primary care physician first. 3. Manage your medication. Do you have enough to last you for the next 30 to 60 days? If you need help managing medications, contact your doctor or a loved one who can help you. 4. Keep a routine that includes consistent sleep-wake cycles. Incorporate talking to family or friends in that routine, whether it is writing them a letter or calling them on the phone. And quick tips for families. Stay active and do it together. Walk the family dog, take a bike ride, or a walk together. If your church has temporarily closed, check in with them to see if they are offering virtual services that your family can attend together from home. If you have kids home from school, make a video on your smartphone and send it to a loved one who lives far away. A fun, interactive way to simply say hello. Tips for caregivers. Take 5 to refuel. Make a list of things that help you relax and take 2 to 3 breaks throughout the day. Call or write a friend who can lend a sympathetic ear, make you laugh, and remind you that you are not alone. Pursue other interests. Hobbies, sports, crafts, and other pursuits are not frivolous. They help you clear your mind of worry, if only briefly. How to care for yourself. Nourish your body. Ensure you are eating a balanced diet and drinking plenty of water. If produce is hard to come by right now, check to see if local farmers markets are delivering. Number 2, take a break from the news. Although it is important to stay updated, it is recommended to take at least a 15-minute break. Stay connected to your loved ones or a mentor using your phone or applications like FaceTime or Skype to speak to them virtually. Hastings added, think of self-care like putting on an oxygen mask on an airplane. The flight attendant always instructs travelers to put on their own mask before securing others. You must take care of yourself right now to continue caring for and supporting those around you. If you or a loved one is in need, contact the SAMHSA, S-A-M-H-S-A, Disaster Distress Hotline, 800-985-5990, that provides 24/7, 365-day-a-year crisis counseling and support to help people experiencing emotional distress related to natural or human-caused disasters. Additionally, older adults and adults living with disabilities can contact the Institute on Aging's 24-hour free friendship line, an accredited crisis line, as 800-971-0016. If you are experiencing a mental health emergency, go to your nearest emergency room or dial 911. About Kirby Senior Life Solutions. Kirby Senior Life Solutions is managed in partnership by Psychiatric Medical Care, a leading behavioral health care management company. Focused on addressing the needs of rural and underserved communities, PMC manages inpatient behavioral health units, intensive outpatient programs, and telehealth services in more than 25 states. The company's services provide evaluation and treatment for patients suffering from depression, anxiety, mood disorders, memory problems, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other behavior health problems. For more information, you can visit www.psychmc.com/senior-life-solutions, all one word. Kirby Medical Center is an independent, not-for-profit corporation located in Monticello, Illinois. Since 1941, Kirby has been serving the healthcare needs of families in Pike County. And under the business section, business is down, but restaurants are forging on by Steve Hoffman. Business is down and layoffs abound at local restaurants, but owners are adapting, as are their consumers. We're about 75% down in sales, said Monarch Brewery owner Pete Bergstrom, whose Monticello restaurant services mostly the dine-in customers that are not allowed during the COVID-19 crisis. It also resulted in 19 of 23 employees being laid off, at least temporarily. But as with every other restaurant owner we've talked to, so far has said, the community is doing the best they can to order takeout and delivery and support the local businesses. It's been wonderful, the support we are getting. We appreciate it, said Bergstrom. He has seen families confined to their homes using curbside pickup as a rare outing. I see cars with complete families, kids also, waiting for their food so that the whole family can get out of the house, added Bergstrom. There are minor victories. Bergstrom can take on small projects that have been on the back burner, such as menu overhauls. He misses the business and he misses his people. I want to put my people back to work again and see people in the restaurant, he said. Monarch is open for carryout / curbside orders Tuesday through Saturdays from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. They are also licensed to sell unopened packaged liquor that can be part of a takeout order. Orders can be placed by calling 631-1141. Monticello and Bement's Subway owner, Sarah Patel, said the mandates put on restaurants, no dine-in until further notice, during the coronavirus pandemic have given him plenty to learn. Every day you learn something new. You figure out something and work it out for your customers and employees, he said. For instance, ensuring social distancing when people enter the store for takeout orders. Stations are set up for people to stand at individually, which keep people at least 6 feet from each other. He recommends people call or use the Subway app in order to pay for their food. These takeouts are placed on a designated table to limit face-to-face interaction even more. Everyone is very supportive. Everybody. They're trying to do their best. I couldn't ask for more, said Patel. The Bement's store is closed for now. Patel said he is trying to find at least some hours for each employee who wishes to work during this time. Subway is currently open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Orders can be placed online or through the Subway app by calling 762-9039. And now switching to the obituaries in today's paper. Mildred C. Gunther, 80, of Monticello, passed away at 1:40 p.m. March 22nd at Kirby Medical Center. Funeral services will be held at a later date, and memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be sent to the family at www.mackie-wrightfuneralhome.com. Ruth Treadway. Ruth Treadway, 97, of Monticello, passed away at 2:45 a.m. March 22, 2020, at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. A memorial service will be held at a later date with Mackie Wright Funeral Home in charge of the arrangements. Memorials may be made to the First Presbyterian Church of Monticello. And now a report on the work on the Monticello School construction by Steve Hoffman. Monticello School construction project continues. There may be one small sliver of a silver lining to Illinois schools being closed due to the COVID-19 concerns. It's allowing contractors to make hay on Monticello's $35 million building project while students are away. Being able to continue the school construction project has been good for us because they are able to get some things done they were not able to get done while school was in session, said Monticello School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman at the March 25th school board meeting, which 6 of 7 members attended remotely due to the current coronavirus outbreak. There's one positive, if there is one, regarding this closure, he added. For example, contractors have been able to remove the tile from the high school hallways during the outage, an effort that was slated for this summer. Looking at the financial numbers, the construction project is more than 50% complete, with $19.5 million paid out on the $35 million project. About 80% of the new construction is complete. These new areas include an elementary school classroom addition, a two-story silence wing at the high school, and a new gymnasium at the Washington Elementary High School campus. Renovation work at the existing high school will dominate the project for the next year, with completion by the start of the 2021-22, the goal. To give contractors more time during the summer for renovation, classes are not slated to start next school year until September 1st. Board member Sarah Ross asked if things could get going earlier since some of the renovations may be ahead of schedule. Zimmerman said that could be discussed, but was concerned the business shutdowns could delay shipments of construction materials and erase gains made while students are currently out of school. "I do not anticipate a scenario where the calendar will be changed," he clarified. Most of the contractors have worked through the current COVID-19 related shutdowns. One was off the job for 2 days while consulting with attorneys on whether to allow workers to venture out during the current executive order, which limits business operations to essential services only. Zimmerman checked with district attorneys who felt construction could continue at least till March 25th board meeting, where the board gave the authority to continue. "I'm okay with leaving it up to the contractors," said board member Kevin Fry. Zimmerman agreed, saying that this was the assumption he started with when decisions are made. As for the project itself, work is being done to finish up the new construction, such as lighting, paint, and acoustical tile in the Washington addition and new gym. Cabinetry has been installed in the science wing, and corridor lighting is up next. The board approved a change order for $17,342. It includes several items, the largest being a $10,865 additional in floor. Zimmerman explained it will include a vinyl overlay of tile flooring instead of removal of the tile that contains asbestos. "I don't like the idea that we're having asbestos tile underneath the existing flooring, but I will say that Illinois is one of only a few states that still requires asbestos tile to be removed. So I think if we hold out long enough, maybe Illinois will change that law and we will not have to worry about that tile underneath," he said. The major reason for the decision is that it is much less costly to change the flooring type than to remove the asbestos tile and put in flooring, added Zimmerman. More closure updates. Zimmerman said teachers have been keeping in contact with students in addition to posting learning plans online. Since the state-mandated closures are an act of God, days that do not need to be made up, no new material is being presented and grades are not being assessed. Teachers are also making themselves available from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day while schools are shut down. "It's worked amazingly well," said the superintendent. Chromebook distribution would occur later this week. Those without internet at home will be provided with portable hotspots, of which the school district ordered 50 to fulfill that need. Cafeteria staff distributed 400 lunch bags on a first distribution on March 23rd, something that will be a weekly event until schools reopen. Although schools could reopen April 8th, Zimmerman thought the outage would likely be extended. "I'll just say it right now, I don't see any way that we can return April 8th because the stay-at-home from the governor ends April 7th. I would expect the school closure to be pushed out another 2 to 5 weeks after April 7th, so I'm thinking around the 1st of May," said Zimmerman. He said the prom venue had already been canceled. The thought of summertime prom was broached, but it would likely be a parent-led event and not a school-sponsored one if it occurs outside the school year. As for commencement, if it is canceled, one option mentioned would be to bring students in 10 at a time for photos in their caps and gowns and possibly live streaming it. The board also approved an amendment with the district transportation company that it will pay bus drivers 82% of their normal pay while school is canceled. The motion also directs Zimmerman to make further amendments if needed in case the school outage is extended. Other news. The board held a first reading of extracurricular code changes which are aimed at improving the disciplinary procedure. It will likely be voted on next month. If approved, it will go into effect this fall. Zimmerman also reported the district is looking to continue employing a mental health counselor, a position shared with the DeLand, Weldon, and Lament school districts. The position was to be free to schools for 2 years, but two partners, Kirby Medical Center and the DeWitt Bi-County Health District, withdrew from the program after schools balked at adding a nurse component. He felt there were positive aspects to the nursing aspect, but that there was concern over clarity for the program goals and rollout. It felt forced upon us. The Piatt County Mental Health Center remains as a partner, and a new contract is being negotiated to keep the mental health counselor on the payroll after May, even if schools will now be on the hook for a portion of the cost. In other action, the board approved $131,900 in technology equipment, including Chromebook purchases, replacing a desktop lab with a mobile one at the high school, 35 flat panel screens for high school classrooms, and the replacement of some teacher laptops. Approved the resignations of Paige Albrecht as high school cheerleading and pep club sponsor. Andrea Bailey, middle school talent show sponsor, Sydney Bottlesman, second grade teacher, Anthony Worth, high school assistant football coach and middle school assistant track coach. Approved the hiring of Lisa Bright, Washington Elementary head cook, Andrew Dunlap, district social worker, Mark Hughes, middle school principal, Mike Stokowski, high school assistant softball coach, and Tara Stetson, high school math teacher. Approved first-year teachers rehired for the second year, Nicole Chambers, Katie Fulton, Shayla Fountain, Christina Guarnieri, Elizabeth Maskey, Amber Gilbel, Jennifer Trainer, Hannah Murray, Megan Parsons, Brittany Ryan, and Stephen Kirk. Approved second-year teachers to be rehired for the third year, Colleen Anderson, Kristen Biswell, Alicia Burge, Brad Curry, Lauren Klein, Allison Lanfear, Marissa Brewer, Bridget Yeager, and Nicholas Walsh. Approved third-year tenure for Kristen Cothran. Approved fourth-year tenure for Ashley Barnes, Kimberly Brandenburg, Christy Crouch, Chelsea Chisi, I don't think it's spelled right, but Earhart, Kara Hettinger, Corin Plotner, Allison Solderis, and Andrew Webb. Approved volunteer coaches Chuck Klutz, high school softball, and Jeffrey Williver, high school basketball, baseball. Approved retirements of Jane Swanson at the end of the 2021 year and Kristen Bolin at the end of 2023-24. Approved a transfer of Megan Parsons from the second grade to fifth grade and approved a revised leave of absence for Colleen Anderson. There is one sports-related article that I'd like to share, Maupin Enjoying College Soccer Career by Jason Brown. When the University of South Carolina Aiken announced closing campus because of the coronavirus epidemic, Monticello graduate Mia Maupin had to make a quick decision about where she would live for the next 3 weeks. "My school is about 12 hours away from Monticello," she said, "and with the virus's growing presence in public places like airports and bus stations, I have not been able to go home. A 12-hour drive is too much for me individually, and my parents, Jeremy and Jennifer Maupin, respective lines of works did not allow them to be able to pack up and come get me." Maupin made the executive decision to go home with a friend in Savannah, Georgia. She has been there since March 14th. "The Blankenship family opened their doors and their hearts and have made me feel like I am with family, even when my family is hundreds of miles away," Maupin said. "We are currently in a shelter-in-place situation, much like my family in Monticello. Seeing as I will not be able to move out of the dorms until early mid-April, I will be here for the foreseeable future." Maupin acknowledges she has been incredibly blessed by the grace of the Blankenship family for allowing her to live with them during its uncertain times and making sure she was in good hands. "I miss my family more than ever," she said, "but I take comfort in knowing that they are taking the necessary and instructive precautions in order to thwart this virus. I think everyone everywhere needs a dose of the hometown closeness that Monticello offers these days. I'm doing my best, even remotely, to check in on those that matter to me." Maupin is looking forward to her sophomore soccer season, and she has good reason. "From the start of the preseason, I was working extremely hard, and eventually I was able to work myself into a starting forward position and provided versatility to the team by being able to play on the outside as a midfielder as well," Maupin said. "I learned a lot and was also successful in the classroom, so I have no complaints about the fall." She played in 15 matches and earned 10 starts, posted 2 goals and 2 assists in the year. The team finished 3-12-1 and 3-7-1 in the Peach Belt Conference. Maupin was also named Hudson Etheridge Companies and Auto Owners and USCA Athletic Department Student Athlete of the Week for the week ending October 27, 2019. "The fall season was a fantastic learning experience for me, and I feel that I grew skillfully and emotionally, and I look forward to taking what I learned and bringing it into the next season," she said. "College soccer in the Peach Belt Conference was extremely competitive and brought out the best in me as an athlete." With so much in the air, Maupin and her teammates are preparing for the fall season as best they can. Our weight coach has been very helpful and flexible in making our workouts able to be completed at home and without public interaction, Maupin said. Our coaches have been great resources and continue to answer questions and work to make sure we are working hard, she added. A guest commentary, a tribute to one of my fellow soldiers by Kenneth Bauman. Our appreciation goes to Corporal Les Gadberry, who passed away recently, he of Company C, 1st Battalion, 9th Regiment of the 3rd Marine Division, and his great family for telling his story. Corporal Garberry recognized the lives of those who were lost. They are the ones who deserve the acknowledgement and any due credit. I'll never forget the sacrifices they and their families made. The young people of today should study the sacrifices of these Marines where Corporal Gadberry fought in Guadalcanal. 1,600 killed, 4,200 wounded, 3,000 died of malaria. Bougainville in the Solomon Islands, 3,763 killed, 5,500 wounded. Guam, 1,700 killed, 6,000 wounded. Iwo Jima, 6,800 killed, 26,000 wounded. I was commanded by officers and NCOs of the 8th Army Air Corps World War II when I joined the Iowa Air National Guard 63 years ago at the age of 17. Most died without telling their stories. There were 75,446 airmen, 60% of operational airmen, that were killed, wounded, or taken prisoner in the air war over Germany. I also had the privilege of working under Robert Gramage, state's attorney of DeWitt County from Farmer City, who fought in World War II as a teenager with the 101st Airborne Division of Paratroopers, the Band of Brothers, at Normandy, Market Garden in Holland, and the Battle of the Bulge at Bastogne, Belgium. There were 19,000 Americans killed in the Battle of the Bulge from December 16, 1944 until January 25, 1945, the bloodiest American battle of World War II. Bob lived for what he fought as a strong supporter of the Bill of Rights. An honor salute to these patriotic men in our lives, along with those who fought and died in Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Kenneth Bauman of Monticello is an amateur historian and descendant of Private Moses Rich of Williamstown, Massachusetts, who joined Captain Samuel Sloan's company of Minutemen on April 22, 1775. He is also a member of Ham Burke American Legion Post 101 in Monticello. And from the Pike County Extension Office by Doug Harlan, avoid the urge to splash and dash. When it comes to hand washing, don't splash and dash. Take the time to wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water to stay healthy and stop germs from spreading to others. Hand washing is our number one defense against germs, said Caitlin Mellendorf, an Illinois Extension nutrition and wellness educator serving DeWitt, Macon, and Pike counties. Washing with soap and water reduces bacteria on your hands by 92% compared to washing with water, which only removes 77% of bacteria, according to a 2011 study published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends these steps to washing hands. Wet the hands with water, apply soap, rub hands all over, including fingers, palms, back of hands, and wrists, for at least 15 seconds. Rinse hands with water and dry with a clean towel or paper towel. See a demonstration of why hand washing is important at go.illinois.edu/handwashing. Friction and running water lift germs off your hands and wash them down the drain. Germs can hide in jewelry and hard-to-clean crevices, including knuckles, between fingers, folds of the palm, and under the nails, so focus on scrubbing those areas. It is important to wash hands after using the bathroom, after sneezing or coughing, after changing diapers, or after taking out the trash. Also wash your hands before tasks such as touching food, before using medical syringes, or before changing contact lenses. We touch a lot of surfaces throughout the day, phones, computers, door handles, and so we want to wash our hands later to defend ourselves, Mettendorf said. However, since you can't wash your hands after every encounter, try not to touch your face, eyes, nose, and mouth to avoid introducing germs to your system. Your first defense is going to be hand washing with soap and water, Mettendorf said. But when a sink is not available, an alcohol-based hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol can be used to kill the germs on your hand. Only use sanitizer if they didn't finish that sentence, but says wash them instead. Dirt, grease, food particles, and other surface contaminants reduce how effective hand sanitizers are. Use enough hand sanitizer to cover your hands fully before it dries. This should take about 20 seconds. For additional information about hand hygiene, visit the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website. The University of Illinois Extension Nutrition and Wellness Program encourages individuals, families, and communities to live healthier through online and in-person skill sharing. And that's all we have for today. You stay safe. Have a good weekend. This is Kathy signing off for the day.